Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.
Paul Jadash, now let's get back to our ongoing coverage of election results this evening. And joining me here in studio is Fianna Fáil MEP candidate Barry Andrews, Labour Party leader Ivana Bacic is on the line, and Social Democrat TD Cian O'Callaghan. You're all very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Barry Andrews, first of all. What is your analysis or assessment of the state of play in your own constituency in Dublin?
I think we've done the eighth count now and don't really expect substantial movement until lunchtime tomorrow. It looks to me like there will be myself and Regina Doherty. I think Lynn Boylan will get enough transfers from the likes of Dahi Doolan and Breed Smith and others to be okay. And then it's down to a smaller number. And look, it's hard to say, but I feel either Aon O'Riordan or Kieran Cuff will take the last seat.
We spoke with Niall Boylan, Independent Ireland candidate, earlier in the programme. He says he reckons he's still in with a shout here.
Yeah, I think he has to get some strange transfer patterns to do that. And there are some strange transfer patterns, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of name recognition that seems to be influencing the way people are transferring, not along specific political spectrum lines that you'd expect. Mm-hmm. Last European election, there was a very strong phenomenon around vote left, stay left. That wasn't a phenomenon coming into this. So there isn't as much of that kind of coherence on the left or on the right. So, but nevertheless, that's still an instinct that people will still stick with. And I think that will cost Niall Boylan in the end, because the other candidates in his side of the political spectrum are just don't have enough.
Okay, so you're saying yourself, Regina Doherty, Fine Gael, Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin, that's three in the fourth seat. If I was to pin you to the corner here and say Kieran Cuff, but because this is the block of candidates for people just tuning in who are round about the same of a significant chunk of votes, Kieran Cuff of the Green Party, Niall Boylan, as I mentioned, Aon O'Riordan of Labour, or Claire Daly, Independence for Change, who would get the fourth seat in your educated guess there?
Well, like I said to you just now, I think it could be Kieran Cuff or Aon O'Riordan. And you know, traditionally the Greens are very transfer friendly, less so when they're in government. So that gives Aon a fighting chance, especially when Sinead Gibney is eliminated.
Yeah. Let me bring in Ivana Bacic. Stay with me. Put on your headphones there, if you will. Ivana Bacic, leader of the Labour Party. You're very welcome. It's just on this constituency in Euro. I think the phrase that Aon O'Riordan used with me on the weekend programme was that he returned the self-respect of the Labour Party. But it's a good showing. Are you expecting a seat here?
Well, good evening, Cormac. Thanks for inviting me on. And just first to commend Barry on his performance. I think it's really impressive. And indeed, as Barry has said, I think Aon does have a fighting chance. And his own campaign theme was for the love of Dublin. And that really resonated with people. So we're really thrilled to see him doing so well. And I just want to thank everybody around the country who voted for our candidates, not just for Aon in Dublin, but for all our great candidates in the local and European elections, and who put their trust in Labour and in our values of equality, solidarity and fairness. We really, you know, just so heartened to see that support. It takes courage to run for election. We had 109 brilliant candidates in the locals, and we've seen really great gains and successes, and we're just so pleased.
And will you in Dublin, will you and Aon O'Riordan be looking to Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats for a lot of transfers?
Well, you know, I think the reality is transfer patterns can be somewhat strange in Europeans, but certainly we would hope to see a coherence of transfers on the centre-left. It's really heartening to see strong performances on the centre-left across the country. But we are coming out of this election as the largest centre-left progressive party in the country. It seems we will have, I think, some 56 local seats along with our 11 Oireachtas members. So, you know, so we'll take transfers from anyone, I guess, is the reality in election count, but I would hope that there will be a coherence on the centre-left, and I would imagine there will.
Stay with me, Ivana Bacic. Cian O'Callaghan, who's a TD with the Social Democrats, and you have about 55 at the moment, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Labour seats on the local election, and then 35 Social Democrat seats. In a way, you'd be some significant block if you were together, Cian.
Well, I think this was a very impressive local elections for the Social Democrats. We almost doubled the number of seats that we have. A lot of commentators were saying that if we came out with about 30 seats, we'd be having a very good local elections, and we've surpassed that 35 seats in Dublin City. We've doubled the number of councillors. We're now the second largest party in Dublin City, just one seat behind Fine Gael, and some very good breakthroughs there, including in my constituency, where Jeslin Henry took a second seat for the Social Democrats in Artane Whitehall. So we had a very good local election results, and in other places around the country, you know, we've doubled our seats in Galway City and Limerick City, trebled them in Cork County, taking our first seat in Cork City.
Yeah, and not a bad showing either in the Euros, insofar as your candidate in Dublin, Sinead Gibney. She got just over 16,300 votes, about nearly 16,400. But it's still a bit off the pace, really. And some were questioning if she was the right candidate in the right constituency. Do you have any regrets at this point?
No, we're very happy with how our three European candidates performed. This was our first time that we were contesting all three European seats, first time that everyone in the country had a chance to vote Social Democrats. And our candidates, you know, Sinead Gibney, Susan Doyle, Rory Hearn, was their first time running at this level. And they were running against, you know, big household names, very high levels of name recognition. So I think, you know, given that context, they've performed very well, did very strong campaigns. I think it puts us in a good place for future European elections. We certainly would be looking at future contests and looking to make breakthroughs in the European elections, as we have in these local elections.
Stay with me if you can. We're still awaiting a count, as I say, in Midlands Northwest, but I'm joined now by one of the candidates in with a chance of picking up the fifth and final MEP seat in that region, Ciarán Mullooly from the Independent Ireland Party. Ciarán, you're welcome to the programme.
Cormac, good afternoon. Good evening to you.
It's very difficult. It's so early, isn't it, without a first count to ask you how things are going or how you think things will go. But I'll do so anyway. What's your reading of it?
I'll be honest, Cormac, I'm nervous as hell.
Oh, yeah.
That's the honest. I hated counts at the best of times. I think it's based on memories of places like St. Joseph's Hall in Portlaoise, for Leashoffley five-seaters for so long. But listen, I have to say, firstly, I'm so delighted with our performance in this election. I'm looking at a pile of votes on the stage here at the TF Royal. I'm very, very happy, particularly because of the nature of the campaign. It was a tough campaign across that vast constituency. And, you know, the reality is I had a very small team. I had a team of personal close friends from up where I'm based, up at Ballyleagan, Lanesborough, on the Longford-Uis Common border. Michael Fitzmaurice rode in behind me big time. But the reality was, around the country, everybody else was fighting local elections. You know, there was not a lot of help on the ground. They were busy themselves. So that's why I'm particularly pleased when I look down here this evening, and I'm not sure what the final results will be in terms of even the first count results will be. Mm. But I'm being told my own personal vote is upwards on 50,000 this evening.
Which is a significant vote.
Now, I'm obviously humbled.
Yeah, obviously name recognition would have helped you. People, that's your kind of area as being an RT correspondent for many years. But can I ask you about your campaign? I think you're an electoral novice, are you? And it's your first time running an election, Ciarán. Were you surprised?
If you don't include youth officer at Longford County Board in 1980 something.
Well, you're informing me of that now first. But can you, what were the main issues that you touched on in the campaign that you felt you got traction on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I fought the campaign on two main issues, to be frank about it, over the 8 weeks. First and foremostly, the farming and rural community issues, specifically the issues, threats facing farming. The key one, the nitrates directive, which was and remains a critical issue. Farmers know they have a role in looking after, in improving water quality, but they're absolutely deeply concerned about what's coming down the line from Europe in that respect. That was the first one, but there were several other farming issues, regulations, the over-regulation of the industry. And then secondly, in my own neck of the woods, the transition towards the green agenda, the transition moving away from peat and all of that. You know, I've been described by various people as being anti-green and a denier of global warming. Nothing could be further from the truth. 25 years ago, I was involved in a campaign to try and highlight we needed to move away. Nobody listened, including the Greens. So I'm upset by the transition speed, and I'm upset by the fact that so many people have lost out. They were the two key issues for me. Certainly there was an immigration debate. I think particularly Cormac in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the campaign, it was coming up in a lot of places. But quite clearly, and this is down to what Fine Gael did and others did, I found that debate toned down considerably and was not a major feature of the debate in the last two weeks or 10 days of this campaign.
You reckon it didn't feature where you were. Can I ask you about the nitrates derogation and the retention of it, your push to retain it? I think you made hay somewhat, especially on social media, on foot of what my guest in studio here has said, that he was against retaining the nitrates derogation, and you were putting it to Barry Cowan. Now, this is a Fianna Fáil's position. Now, can you take it up with Barry Andrews here? Did you actually did you make gains there on that point, do you reckon?
We see the issue with it is many especially now with Barry Andrews, it's with Barry Cowan's position. We had we had two farming debates. We met in Claremorris in County Mayo. We met in Mullingar, County Westmeath. There were probably guts of 1,000 farmers there, and this issue came up at both occasions. And I specifically asked Barry Cowan about the party view. Were they going to have a unanimous support going into a unanimous position on the derogation? And he told me they had. Lisa Chambers told me they had, and the Blaney response was the same. So that's why I was, you know, majorly, I suppose, alarmed when I heard what Barry had to say on the television debate. And, you know, for a lot of people involved in this, there was a kind of a flashback to what happened with regard to the Restoration Bill, yeah. where the Nature Restoration Bill, where we heard one thing from Fianna Fáil at various stages, and then they voted the other way when it happened. So it was a genuine issue, yeah. And that's why I raised it.
And a genuine issue for an awful lot of rural Irish people and farmers, Barry Andrews. Can I bring you back in here? Were you expressing a Fianna Fáil position on the retention or not of the nitrates, or was it a South Dublin Barry Andrews position?
Oh, well, I absolutely reject that latter characterization, because this issue comes up in Europe all the time, as you probably know. It came up during the campaign. I was very clear in my position. I know it's not the party position. Mm. I think what Kieran was trying to push through is the maybe it was said that there was unanimous support within the party. You know, like, we are a very broad church party. There are a lot of issues where we don't agree with each other.
You can pick and choose the party policies.
I mean, that's carrying it to the extreme to make something that is a very specific point around biodiversity and the protection of our pristine waterways, particularly our fresh waterways, where there is a serious issue.
So Barry Cowan was not.
No, this is my view.
Yeah.
I take very seriously.
I beg your pardon? If he took an opposing view.
No, his view was the party view. I totally understand that and I accept that. The Fianna Fáil party view on the nitrates derogation is to seek an extension of the derogation. But my view is slightly different. I think we have a huge obligation to take these issues seriously. We're one of just two countries left that is benefiting from the derogation. But there's no point in relitigating the campaign itself.
But you'll realise why people are confused then, I suppose. And that's the point, Kieran, you were making in a way.
I mean, that was the problem. I mean, and as I say, I specifically asked Barry about Barry Andrews' situation in Mullingar in front of 400 or 500 farmers, and Fianna Fáil were not having it that night. It was going to be unanimous. There was going to be full support for the retention of the derogation, and then we got a very clear answer from Barry. And this came up a couple of times during the debate, during the 8 weeks, flip-flopping by Fianna Fáil MEPs. Oh, that's what it was described as.
I think flip-flopping is a bit of an exaggeration, Kieran. It's flip-flopping if you change your position. I was consistently of the view that the derogation, that we shouldn't seek an extension of the derogation the same way as Denmark and the Netherlands. Mm. That's my position. I know it's not party policy.
Yeah, so Fianna Fáil was flop. So that's the point he's making.
That's flippant.
No, but hang on, but you can't.
I'm not accepting that.
You can't have pick and choose the policies from your party.
Look, I have a view on this issue in the European context. It doesn't fall to the European Parliament to make a call on whether or not to seek an extension of the derogation in any case. Mm. It's something that I mentioned in the course of a debate on Tuesday of last week,
okay,
in relation to our debate on the climate change.
Go back to Ivana Bacic for a second in terms of, if we can at all, Ivana Bacic, extrapolate from this result to a potential general election? Where do you think things would stand in terms of presenting an alternative to the government that's there now?
Well, it's a very interesting question. And of course, I think we're all very conscious that local elections and European elections may not, in fact, predict the results of a general. I do think what we're seeing here is, as I said, a heartening level of support for progressive centre-left parties and candidates for the Green and environmental side as well. And I've always wanted to see that sort of alliance of progressive centre-left and Green parties. And, you know, when I said flippantly transfers from anywhere, look, I think we're all very conscious of the concern about the rise of the far right. And at this time, when we see that rise across the EU, the politics of hate rising, we need to stand firm and in solidarity, those of us on the centre-left, those of us in the progressive side, and those of us in the Green movement, to ensure that there's a solidarity. And I would hope, Cormac, what we'll see in the general coming out of these elections is a growth in support for that centre-left progressive environmentalist movement.
In terms of the centre-left, then, come general election campaign, very often it's a leader that's looked upon by the electorate. Who's the best leader in the centre-left, do you think?
Well, as I've said, we in Labour are the biggest centre-left and progressive party. We have 11 Oireachtas members. We've now 55 and it looks like 56 councillors across the country. So, you know, what we would like to see, though, is an alliance. Well, as I've said, I think there's a very clear centre-left policy framework that we in Labour have always embraced, that we've always stood for. We're the Irish wing of the Socialists and Democrats grouping in the European Parliament, which is the largest centre-left grouping in the European Parliament. And we hope to see that movement, that grouping, holding the numbers and holding firm, because it's that grouping that can stand firm against the far right. When we see the centre-right, EPP members and so on, doing deals with the far right across Europe, that's really scary. And that's why we need to see a strong centre-left alliance, a progressive alliance. And I hope we'll see, Cormac, I hope we'll see that coming out of the next general election.
Well, we're months away from a general election. Really quickly now, are you hoping that there could be some kind of a pact on the left between you and the Soc Dems and Sinn Féin even going into the next election?
Well, in Labour, we've always worked closely, and indeed it's my own style, we've worked collaboratively and constructively with those who share our values, our Labour values of equality and solidarity, and we'll continue to do that. We'll work across party lines on that, and indeed with those who share our green and environmentalist values too. So we want to continue doing that into the next election.
OK, Cian O'Callaghan of the Soc Dems, Ivana Bacic of Labour, Ciara Mullooly, and Barry Andrews of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And that is all we have time for. The programme produced by Margaret Curley. Thank you, Margaret. And thanks to our BCO, Emily Hurley, Tom Norton on sound. Up next is Arena with Sean Rocks. You can catch more updates online throughout the evening on rt.ie. But from all of us here on Drive Time, Sláinte agus Beannacht.